This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
You're listening to the award-winning podcast, The Ambitious Entrepreneur Show, featuring business leaders to help you navigate a constantly changing marketplace. Want to become known as a trusted authority while building a thriving business you love? The Ambitious Entrepreneur Show will show you how. Here's your host, Anne-Marie Cross.
And welcome to another episode of Ambitious Entrepreneur Show, brought to you by theinfluencealliance.com, the business building community for change makers who want to build a sustainable and scalable business they love. And I'm your host, Anne-Marie Cross. Now, my guest today says, if I could go back and give myself some advice, it would be to get someone to help with personal branding. And joining me on today's show is Paul Higgins. Paul is a high-performing business mentor. He's a podcaster himself and published author he helps people who are seven-figure businesses with their sales and team so that they can build, they can live, and they can give. And he has 27 years of experience in sales and marketing, finishing up an 18-year gig at Coca-Cola, the Coca-Cola company, as a director when he left in 2011 to manage his health. Now, he founded three businesses with a successful exit in 2019. He had a successful transplant from his best mate in 2019. There you go. And with his newfound energy, he loves to mentor business owners, spend time with his teenage children and play golf. Now, on today's show, he's going to share how to create optimum business models to use so that you can scale fast and work less, how to get quality leads leveraging LinkedIn, as well as how to run an effective remote team. Welcome to the show, Paul.
Thanks, Anne-Marie. Great to be here, and it's great to be interviewed by a fellow Australian.
Yes, it is. Lots of Aussie accents, which is fantastic. Look, I love, from your introduction there that I just shared, that it seems that a lot of what you now love to support other business owners through are things that you've learned through your history, through your career. And I'm sure that when you look at other business owners, ambitious entrepreneurs working, and you know, they've got that term hustling, this is probably something that you're saying, look, there's a better way of doing things. A much better way so that you don't end up having to take time off to recuperate and health and so forth. Yes?
Spot on. Yeah. Look, I call it the highway of business, and whatever success is at the end of it, whatever your destination is, but yeah, it's a highway, and the more time you spend on it, the better. And there's lots of, reroutes, opportunities to get off that highway. And I learned them the hard way, so I always like to help people avoid that.
Yeah. What I love about podcasting, and you would be the same with your podcast, if you can learn something, if you can follow the steps of someone who's gone before you, why wouldn't you do that? I mean, some of us are a little bit more stubborn than others that have to experience a few things. But when it comes to your health, it's going to impact not only you, but also your family, your team, because if you're not operating at your best, it's going to filter throughout the organization. Lots of stuff that we want to cover today. So let's dive in. When it comes to business models, how would you define business model?
Yeah, look, I think business model is effectively the way that you make money. Okay, so if the simplest definition is that. And I find a lot of people, choose a business model which doesn't align to their lifestyle. And you mentioned it at the start. My company's called Build, Live, Give. It's about building a great business, but most importantly, to fund your lifestyle and then give back. And often what I see is people have a business model that doesn't give them the lifestyle. A quick example is where they might be doing project-based work, or they might be doing consulting work where they have to be, on site. I know in COVID times that's changed a little, on Zoom maybe, but if they don't turn up, they don't get paid. And that's not great for your lifestyle. So that's what I mean by business models.
Yeah, and you could end up building a business that ends up that you end up hating. You know, you might be working with clients that initially you thought you wanted to work with, but it ends up burning out. So what are some things that you can encourage businesses to start considering? Many businesses have had to go back and rethink the way that they're doing business and in future. So what are some insights that are important?
Yeah, well, look, as you said, I work with a lot of service-based business owners and, real estate, I don't work with real estate agents or realtors wherever you are in the world. But I think it draws a really good analogy where they've got the commission-based side of the business. So that's where they're buying and selling houses, which is great. And for most consultants, that's where they're doing the consulting part of it. You know, they're swapping time for money. And then most really good real estate agents have a rent roll. Right. And that rent roll is really the value that when they go to sell the business, that's what people buy the business based off, right? Because it's consistent. It's in my terminology, it's a subscription-based business. And that's what I love helping people develop, where yes, you can still do your one-on-one, consulting, etc. But, you know, if you also develop maybe a group program or a membership, that can give you recurring income. And isn't it great when your income is coming from potentially, like me in my community, 100 people versus coming from 5 or 6 people that, you know, with COVID and what's happened, you know, for whatever reason, businesses have suddenly said, no, sorry, we don't need you at the moment, and you could lose 80% of your revenue overnight.
Yes. What I love about what you've just said there too, I mean, we're always encouraged, please do not put all of your eggs in one basket, whether it be working with one major client. Well, what happens? I mean, in businesses, not just service-based businesses, but here in Australia, fisheries and wine, doing a lot of business with one particular country. And when that disappears, all of a sudden they're left thinking, goodness. And so I love the way that you're encouraging what are the different streams, but not just where you may work one-on-one, but a membership program. A subscription-based program. Would you say that one of the barriers often to businesses actually doing that is because they didn't even realize it was possible, or that clients would want that there was a need?
Yeah, look, I think that's the case. And it depends which, you know, like for me, you know, I've got a podcast, as you said, but I love listening to podcasts. And the podcasts that I listen to in particular, it's, you know, it's like very common, right? Because I chase those themes to learn and develop for my clients. But for a lot of people, you're right, they aren't listening to those podcasts. It's not something that is, you know, front of mind for them. And often they're working that hard in the old, what I call the old school model of just swapping time for money, that they often don't have the opportunity to either look for other models, or even if they do, they don't have the time to actually step back and implement because they're so busy in the doing of the business.
Something that often will happen too is businesses, they look at what their industry are doing and they say, no one else is doing it, so there mustn't be a need. But what I say is get in there, do some investigation, because you might just be, the blue ocean, I think that's the term, isn't it? And your ideal clients may be thinking, oh my goodness, we've been waiting for this. What would be just a couple of things that you would encourage businesses to do as they're brainstorming? What ideas? Are there some specific questions that you encourage people to start thinking and widening their ideas about what's possible for them? Where do they start?
Yeah, look, I think I'll give you a live example. So one of my clients, Al, other than that, he'll remain nameless or anonymous, but he's looking at this at the moment. So he's in an industry that's quite conservative. It's consumer goods, and he's got a specific expertise, and he's been swapping time for money in doing that consulting. But I said, look, you know, often you go into a business and there's an expert on that topic in the business, but how much development are they getting? And he said, not a lot. I said, yeah. So, you know, they, you know, have a boss, or they're in a particular area of the business that they want the outcome, but they don't want to develop that person. I said, do you think that's an opportunity to build a community of those people across all the businesses that you could help? And once you've helped those people, guess what? They're going to end up be the main decision maker over time, and then you've got a lifelong of great clients. So I said, that's the hypothesis, right? So the hypothesis needs to be tested. So what I want you to do is, whether you set up a free Slack group, whatever's best for where they hang out, but set it up and basically ask the question. You know, ask if this is a need that they've got, because so often we put the cart before the horse. So we think, oh, okay, I want to get a membership and I want to get recurring revenue because it suits me. It's a great business model. But the most important thing, is it going to benefit the people that will continue to make that a great livelihood for you? And I think that's the number one thing people do, is they put the cart before the horse.
Yes. You would have heard, Paul, the saying analysis paralysis. At what time frame or at what stage, when we've done that, we've opened up the Slack group, we've talked to our ideal clients, and there may be even existing clients and they have said, you know, that's fantastic. Would you use that then as an indication that, yes, that is what has been determined as being of interest? Or would you say there's a few other things? And over what time frame? And I know that sounds a bit silly, like what time frame, it's as long as a piece of string. But I know that there's some people there that do tend to like to get a lot of information and they never end up launching because they're too busy still in the research phase.
Yeah. Yeah, well, look, the example that I've got with Elle, like we're taking a month. Right, a month to set it up, and then let's say it's probably another month, so 2 months in total. But what I've said is we want 10 paid clients at the end of this hypothesis. So you might change, you know, the way that you're talking, you know, the copy that you're going to have on the landing page, etc. That may change based on, but the concept is to get 10 people paying, because, you know, as you know, we're, you know, the true validation of an offer is when it converts. Right. Yes. So, you know, that's my perspective on it. And now I'm happy to update you post this on what the results of Al's work is. But we've done it with other people as well in the past. And that's, you know, a reasonable time frame.
And when once you get people that have actually invested money in it, then Al's going to be going, great, now I can create the content and really put the foundations and that in place because people have put their hand up. Love that. So is there any other one or two little insights around creating business models? I mean, you've mentioned membership, you've mentioned group coaching programs. Are there any things that you've seen has started to work really well, particularly when we think of the environment we're now in, just to get some ideas out there, maybe some even information that people can then go reach out to you or maybe do some further research? What are other things that are working really well when it comes to business models?
Yeah, well, look, I think the key thing that I've learned is, as you said, you get great diversification across your client base because you've got 80 people versus, you know, like you said, a handful. But I think you can be very niched in what you go after, niche, however you say it in the world. But I think that's the most important thing. So for me, I'm very clear on who my target market is. You know, it's seven-figure service-based business owners that are in a couple of key industries. So I'm very, very clear. But then what I do is, because I go across the globe, I'm able to diversify that way. So I think the first thing, if you're going to set up a membership, is make sure it's very, very clear. So someone comes to your LinkedIn profile, they come to your website, they know it's whether it's for them or not. Right, because remember, you only want maybe 100, you know, maybe even 1,000 people paying you, you know, $2.99 a month is a very, very good business. So you don't need to invite the world to it. So I think that's the first thing. The second thing is, I think, don't overload the content up front. Okay, so a lot of people say, I'm going to build all this content and then go and sell the program. No, I think what you do is get some founding members and you help by doing it, because everyone's so busy that I want to be overwhelmed by more. People want less and they want results. And the third thing I think is really important is work out what you're naturally good at. Okay. So I love facilitation. I love, you know, I've done it through my corporate career. That's what I'm great at. I'm not as good at online courses, right? So I think there's really two ways. You can have a community that's based on a lot of communication, collaboration, et cetera, or you can have an online model. Work out what's the best style for you. Now, I've got an online that supports my group program, but it's not a whole lot of online courses that I provide. I actually provide a community. So I think, you know, based on your preference, make that distinction.
And that's what really is going to set you apart from other people who may be in your industry yet really gravitate towards an experience which maybe you don't want to do, which is great because there's so much business opportunity out there. Find what you're good at, where you want to position, and then just go, 100% into that. Love all of those things. Now, you mentioned something, and we're going to dive into that. It's a beautiful segue, how to get quality leads leveraging LinkedIn. So you mentioned already, make sure your profile highlights that. What are some other things to do with our profile? And then we'll talk about how do we actually start generating leads from the LinkedIn platform?
Yeah, and look, I've got 9 key things that you should do for your profile. So I won't mention all 9, but you can go to blgdownload.com and there's a PDF with the 9. But I think the top 3 that I'll mention, the first thing is the header, okay? The header is so important on your profile. So you want to actually allow people to know what you do. So some people have a nice landscape or whatever, but it means nothing, right? So think of it as a billboard on the road. You wouldn't put something generic there. So why do it on your header? So I always say, if you've got a methodology, show your methodology. So if you go to mine, you can see that I've got my methodology and then who I service, right? So when people look, they go, okay, this profile's for me. So that's number one. And just on that also, have a great profile shot. And I use my background is orange, so it really pops and it stands out. So do that as well. Don't have your wedding photo or some of the other ones that you see out there. You know, someone that's 40 years ago are using their best photo. So that's that. The next one is your headline. So on the headline, I recommend you use a simple formula. So the first thing is people want to put you in a box as to what you do. Okay, so you'll see there on mine. Thanks for that, bringing that up, Anne-Marie. The key thing is, what do people want to box you in? Because they do, right? You don't want to be boxed, but they will. So I'm a high performing mentor, right? So that's what I do. It's easy for people to say, is this for me or not? And the next, I help X through Y to achieve Z. Just use that simple formula, no emojis in your headline. That's important. And the last one I'll say is the about section, which most people read. Welcome them in. Think of this as the first conversation you're going to have with someone, right? So actually don't, sell straight to them straight away. Welcome them in. Talk about who they might be. So who do you love working with? What are some of the things they're challenging with and how you can help them? I talk about both free and paid services on how I can help them. So they're the 3 biggest tips around a profile I can provide you. And the rest, as I said, you can get at blgdownload.com.
Yeah, fantastic. And of course, there's nothing better than to go to your particular profile, which I thought, gosh, we've got a great platform that we're able to share that. And you're walking the talk, which is wonderful. Go and check out Paul's profile there. Let's talk about getting quality leads, because over the last, a number of months, I mean, people have actually, the whole of 2020, when all of a sudden everything hit the fan, people have been using a lot more platforms, particularly LinkedIn, and building networks and connections and leads. It's all about relationship building, and there's good relationship building and not so good. What are, you would say, the 1 or 2 common mistakes that you see people make? Please stop doing that when it comes to the LinkedIn platform.
Yeah, well, look, I think, obviously your profile's right. Then the next bit is your posting, okay? So, people want to see that you're actually adding value. They want to see if you're someone that is an authority in your area, right? So don't miss the opportunity to post. And, the key thing with posting is follow a couple of key elements to it, right? I've got 7 key elements, but I'll just go through a couple. One is make sure it's an intriguing headline. Okay, because, it's like anything, they've got choice. It's, a view is just a skim, right? What you want to do is open it to get them to like and comment, which boosts how many other people will get to see it. So intriguing at the header. Then tell a bit of a story, right? So once again, you're not selling, you're writing to your ideal client, tell a bit of a story and always ask a question, right? Because the question then gets more comments and more comments will mean more views. Okay. Also, a comment means that they might be your ideal client, so you can actually follow up with them. The last one is just some hashtags. So, there's a lot of different opinions out there. Is it 3 because Google now search for 3 hashtags? Is it 9? Look, I'm using anywhere between 3 and 9. Odd numbers, not even. I don't know why, but that seems to work best. So just have those elements in your post. Once again, go and have a look at mine. But since I had my transplant, which you spoke about, in 2019, so about July 2019. Since then to now, I've had 2.5 million views on LinkedIn. I've gained hundreds of clients, and it definitely works. And there's one other thing. It's not a solo sport, right? If you really want to do well on LinkedIn, you do need to get 50 likes and 20 comments in the first hour. Okay, so to do that, you do need some help. So I'll leave it at that, but there's some of the key things around posting.
Yeah, fantastic. And I'm looking, scrolling through the feed. So, and the pictures that you have, you know, taken, their view, they're smiling, you know, there's this. So, I mean, you know, you're really creating an experience, aren't you? So people kind of sense your personality through that.
Yeah. And just quickly on images, we've only done this for a particular launch, but generally a PDF is much better. So a PDF that I did, which if you just scroll down a moment, Anne-Marie.
Maybe go to documents.
Yeah, that one? Yeah, great. So that one there, that's got about 80,000 views at the moment. And the key thing about that post is two things. One, it had a PDF. So it dwell time is really important on LinkedIn. So the longer someone looks at a post, the better. So that, and the other thing is I asked them to add a comment to get more specific on the resource. So those two things is the reason why that's at 80,000 and keeps climbing.
Wow. And as I have just clicked through, just in case people aren't aware of where all of these things are, this is documents. So in other words, when Paul went to put a post up instead of the post, you went to documents, didn't you, and uploaded that and some really great tips there. And this is just letting you know what you may not have been aware of. Go and do some further research. Reach out to Paul. There's his LinkedIn profile. Let him know that you listened to the show, and I'm sure he's got some other resources to direct you to. When it comes to connecting, I mean, obviously we've got messages there that here we go here, messaging where we're able to connect with people. Are there some things that you have seen are done really well, or maybe this is something that you're doing that enables you to then take a relationship where you may have already connected, maybe someone has engaged with one of your posts? What do you do then in a strategic, nurturing kind of way?
Yeah, great. So thanks, Anne-Marie. So first is if someone has liked or commented on your post, when you reach out to them, actually put that specific post link, right? Because they, you know, they may not even be aware of your post. They may be very aware. So just let them know that's the reason why you're connecting. Okay. So it's always best, as you know, when you're first reaching anyone, if you've got a mutual reason for connecting, or you know, it works better. So do that. I think I highly recommend that. The second thing is I always say, you know, I'm a high-performing business owner looking for people like this. So insert whatever your this is. And, you know, would you be open to connecting, right? That's it. I keep it as simple as that for a connection request if there is no, you know, way that I've found them. And I think the key thing is the word open. Permission is something that people skip. You asked me before what people don't do well. They don't ask for permission. So always ask for permission, and open is a brilliant way of doing that. The other thing, what I often do is I'll put a PS if it's someone specifically that I want to talk to. I say, PS, I'm going to send you a personal video on acceptance, right? So I let them know that. And then when I send them a personal video, it's normally about a minute long. I've got their profile in front of me so they know exactly how they found I found them. Often I'll email them so it shows on their contact information. So what I'm doing is not making it a mystery. I'm being very clear on how I'm reaching out to them, and I'm asking them permission if we can talk further. So I think they're some of the really key tips that you know, a lot of people miss. And I say to people, like, hang on, you've just sent that script, right? You've got it off someone else, you cut and pasted it. And, you know, is that really you? And would you open that? And most people say, no, I wouldn't open it. So it's pretty clear someone else is not going to. So, you know, it's the same, the bar analogy you've heard to death, but it's still a very good one that, you know, you wouldn't walk up to someone in a bar and be inappropriate straight off the bat. So don't do the same thing on LinkedIn.
Absolutely. Now, you mentioned that when someone does connect with you, you kind of preempt that you're going to send them a video. So is that a short video? What do you do in that? Do you personalize it? Because I noticed from your profile here, you've got 15,950, so almost 16,000. That's a lot of people that you're connected with. And I'm sure one of the reasons why you get high engagement and so many thousands of views. So what does that video look like?
Yeah, look, great question. So we've got really three types. So one is where I will do a personalized video. And, you know, always, as I said, why I'm reaching out to them, always give a reason why, how I found them. You know, we've been connecting on LinkedIn, and then always ask them, you know, if now's not a good time, that's cool. You don't need to reply. But if you are, you know, I'd love to reply. And what I do is always have some value add videos, because I use a service called Dub, D-U-B-B. And what that does is allows me to say, look, it's completely up to you. But if you want to see something on, you know, how to tweak your profile, how to get better engagement on your posts, because I've noticed that when I've looked at their profile, that's a great way of doing it. So that's the first type. The second is just send a custom one. So for all my first connections, we have a, you know, a welcome video that comes in if it's not personalized, and that's just a generic one. And also we do birthdays, right? So anyone that's got a birthday, we basically do that. So they're ones that are just pre-recorded that my team send on my behalf. And the third one is, like I said, is specific value adds, where I'll look at their profile or might look at something specific and I'll give it. So it's not to them specific, it's a specific tip. And I can look at their profile, and my team can look at their profile, know the gap, and then I'll send them that. So that's a couple of ways that we use video.
Yeah, I love that. And I imagine the tip that you send them is one that is saying, hey, I thought that this might be really helpful for you, because I've seen other people do it this way. And you know, those emails that you've got, I've just looked at your website and it's atrocious. I mean, not using those words, but you know what I mean? They start off getting bang, bang, bang. This is wrong. And it's like, well, man, I really want to connect with you now. But it's done from a positive, empowering way. Yes.
Yes. Yeah, great.
Yeah, absolutely good. And so that beautifully segues into the third point too, about how to effectively run this remote team. So you mentioned that you have team that also supports you in doing that. For someone who's considering, may not even thought of doing that, at what would you recommend? It helps them to discern what you should be managing and what you can allow the team to manage. Because, I mean, we are talking about relationships. How can you help us to discern what we should be doing and what the team can do for us?
Yeah, well, to be honest, it's very simple to determine that, right? And that's not the reason why most people don't take someone on. So I'll get to the easy part first, which is effectively just get a bit of paper. If you use a task manager, I use Asana. Just every time you do something and you know that it's not, you know, it's the old classic, it can be done by you, but should it be done by you? So just have that list, right? And just do a T. So all the stuff that only I can do, all the stuff someone else could do, collect that. And that gives you more than enough content to what you could get a team member to do. Okay. Yeah. So that's the easy part. The hard part is the letting go, right? And there's various reasons for it. Some is, you know, they've never had any experience managing a remote person before. So, you know, there's a lot of fear and there's a lot of angst about, you know, how's that going to play out? The other one is that, you know, they love to micromanage. They love to be in the detail and they find that really, you know, hard to let go. And I think the third one is they've heard stories in the past of where it hasn't worked. Okay, so how it didn't work for Jill, I don't know if it's going to work for me. So I think, you know, they're the three most common ones. And really, I think in that sense, there's three options you can really do for a remote team. So one is off a freelance site. So whether it's Upwork, FreeUp, there's a lot of them there, right? That's the first. The second is to go direct. So you get someone direct yourself. And the third is to go through an agency. And if you've never done this before, I highly recommend the third. There's a reason they'll be more expensive than the other two, and that's because they've trained the person, they've vetted the person. And what they'll also do is help you okay, in bringing someone on for the first time. So that's the way that you minimize some of those fears in my experience.
Yeah. One of the things, and I'd love some insights on this too, I mean, some people are just starting with a VA and sometimes it's good just to try out. And then as you become, things start to flow and you see things getting posted and you haven't actually had to press the button. It's like, wow, what else can I outsource? But then you get to a stage where you start to have to manage and you need to seed in. Like if they were working face-to-face, it's not like you can come into the business and never talk to your team again. But then you can become part of the operational, the oversight. Do you have, because once you start to get to seven figures, you've got multiple people, multiple projects, and if you're managing those, what you want to be doing can often your time be taken away. So do you then also have like an operations manager, someone who's more an OBM? That's something that I'm sure you do. Speak a little bit about that for those people that are multi-six already and thinking there's no way that I can go to seven figure or higher because it just means more time for me overseeing my team. Speak a little bit about a business manager, VA, or you know, outsourced staff.
Yeah, it's great. And look, just my experience comes from, you know, I ran an outsourcing VA business for 5 years until I had to divest it because of my health. So, you know, I have got a lot of experience and a lot of the people that I mentor run outsourcing businesses. But in short, you know, if you've got a team already, look at where your team, so let's call it roughly 50% of their work shouldn't be done by them. So a great way to even get a VA into your business is to look at normally your best people are the busiest, right? You know those people and you know that they're overloaded, right? And how long can you, you know, extend the string before it pops, right? Or the elastic. So what I do is recommending them to have a VA. Right. So that's a great way to test it in the business without you having to do all the work to begin with. So that's one place you can do. The other is if you're building your team and you've already got a VA, what you can do is if that person's really good, you can elevate that person to a project manager or the team lead, and then you can bring people under them. So that's my model. That's what I love to do. So I've got Connie in my team. She's been with me, I think, nearly for 4 years now. She's absolutely brilliant, and she's my right-hand person, and she's basically project manages the whole business. But then we've got teams that work under her or people that work under her that do, you know, the more specific work. So I think that works really well. And then for me, I know for my sales admin, which is a key part of my methodology and what we really focus on and helping people with, I've got then some people that report directly to me. So I've got two people at the moment that do my LinkedIn and they report directly to me for the topic, which is LinkedIn, but for the performance management, for the feedback, everything else, they fall under Connie as part of her broader team.
Yeah, that in itself, I think, would be something that as the business owner to hand that over, but how empowering that must be that you don't have to, deal with those day-to-day issues. You also mentioned, team beneath Connie and she's the oversight. And I think what a lot of businesses struggle with too, and I'd love for you to speak a little bit into this, is that your team will only be as good as the systems and the processes that you have in place. And that means document them. How many business owners carry their business plans and everything to do with their business in here? We need to start documenting. Are there some tools that are now your go-to? And what if someone hasn't even started doing that? Oh, shock, horror. What are some places to start? Because you've got to start sometime.
Yeah, look, and it's the classic, like, people will often say, I'm not quite sure what sales CRM to use, so they don't use one. Right. And therefore they're just missing leads. Leads are falling through, follow-ups falling through, and they wonder why they're not making their revenue targets because they're making it very hard for themselves. So to me, any tool's better than none. Right. So that's my first point. The second is I think you should have a project management tool in your business. And there's some brilliant ones out there. We prefer Asana. That's great. But there's ClickUp, there's Trello. No, there's lots of others. So I think that's really important to have those because my simple reasoning, and let's face it, I came from one of the best companies in the world, Coca-Cola, 150 years old, and they had, you know, their use of systems and processes was absolutely brilliant. But what I did learn is the closer to the closer that the process is to where someone's making the decision or doing the work, the better. So people used to say, oh, document all your SOPs and, you know, I'm going to be madly working on something and I'm going to go over and I'm going to grab that SOP, bring it back to my desk or, you know, in the old days, now bring up that file and work through. It doesn't happen that way. So in the project management software, embed the checklist, embed the way that they work so you make it a lot easier for them to do things. And if you ever want to sell your business, it's a lot easier to sell that business when you've got everything in a platform. Now, it can always be moved out off platform, so that's not a risk, but at least you've got it all there rather than having all these Google Docs and all these other systems that are so removed from where they actually do the work.
Yeah, something that we just did, Paul, I've got three podcasts. This one, Women in Leadership, and then I've got the Christian Entrepreneur as well. And so I thought I have got to put something in place that enables, you know, the VA, the editor, all of that. And I thought, you know what, because I've had tried different things. And the reason I'm sharing this is if you try something and it doesn't work, don't throw your hands up and walk away. There is going to be something that works for the entire team. So I created a spreadsheet. Google spreadsheet. Every tab is a different show. There's different columns. And this whole section is for the audio editor. This whole section is for the VA. And this whole section is for me. And what I have determined is I am the biggest bottleneck of the entire business, just putting it out there. Often as business owners, we are, because the buck stops with me. But each of the team members, they're feeling empowered. And I said, if you want to add a column or something fits in better for you, change things up, please let me know and let's do that to make your job easier. And guess what? It's actually working. And we've only implemented it for the last week or two. But what you've just said is so important. Go with what you have access to and tweak it, you know, and empower the team to be able to contribute to that too. Because how often a team member, especially some of the remote team, they may not be ones to come forward, people to come forward, but I think they're the best advocates to share because they're the ones. And I think that's what you said, the closer they are to the process, the better it's going to be because they're going to be running it.
Spot on. And it doesn't have to be you, the business owner, right? You can always hire people in to help you build your processes. You can always get your team to do it. So even if you're not great at it, it's not an excuse not to have it in your business. And just quickly, you know, start where you're most comfortable. So if it's Google Sheets, like you said, Anne-Marie, start there, right? Then you might progress that into a project management software. For us, we use, you know, Airtable, which is a really sophisticated version of a Google Sheet. So it's just the evolution. So we went from Google Sheets into Airtable. But, you know, don't look at someone. It's like the classic, you know, it's taken me 10 years to get where I've got. You know, it's the exact same thing. Don't compare me to now. Compare me to where I was, where you are, right? So if you're not great at processes at the moment and you don't have any, that's okay. But, you know, as the Chinese say, the best time to plant a tree was 20 years ago. The next best time is today. Just start today. And you don't have to have it perfect tomorrow. Every day you build on it.
What I love about what you've just said there is that start with something and then you can integrate and you know, advance the systems. One of the things that I've noticed, and as business owners, we know the best style. How many times have we gone to a productivity course and bought the journals, bought the documents, and then that ends up running us and it's like, this is ridiculous because I'm never going to do it anyway. You know, one of my I don't know if you know the Colby A, quick start, not so good on the follow through, which is why we need team. So I'm not going to get there and, you know, put all of the things in. It's just not my skill. But if I need to do something to inform my team and I know that it's going to be a block for me, choose a system that you know is going to run with the style that you have and implement that. And that's the way you can't tweak and change and perfect things. Not that we're, you know, perfection, but get it to working at optimum if we never develop it, if we don't tweak and monitor it.
So. Yeah, and Emma, if I had a dollar for every time someone said, look, and especially when I ran the outsourcing business, I'll wait till I get all of my systems set up, then I'm going to hire someone. I'm like, bullshit. Oh, sorry. Don't do that, right? Because every day you wait, it's compounding. Like it's not going to be, you can't change 3 months of wait as soon as you get someone 3 months in the future, right? That you can't recover that time. So I'm always the view, just start scrappy, get someone in and help them build the process. Because guess what? The way you design a process is probably not how your team are going to use it, especially if it's not your strength, right? So get someone in to help with that. Don't wait. Now, if you're watching now, go and get a VA before you need one, if you don't have one. Believe me, it will change your life. I've never seen a client in my 10 years of being in my own business, I've never seen a client say, I'm never going to use a VA again once they've started. They might change VAs, but they rarely change having a VA once they start.
Yeah, so true. While we've been, you've been sharing your insights, we've had Sandra go, good insight. She's been agreeing there, yes. And then we've got Dean, Carol. Paul always has great guidance. So thank you, Sandra. Thank you, Dean, for being there too. So, Paul, I know that you've shared already a link where people can get access to your 9-point LinkedIn tips, you know, what we need to share with that. But what are some best ways for people to connect if they'd like to find out more information about you, your programs, and the support you offer?
Yeah, well, the best is just go to my personal branding site, which is paulhigginsmentoring.com. And on there, they'll have, when you land on the page, there's a great assessment that you can do. And it's not one of those assessments where I scrape your email and then you never hear from me. It's actually one where there's a chance to book a call where we actually come up with a plan, not a sales call, a plan for you. So that's one that's got my podcast there, which is Build, Live, Give. So you can check out those episodes. And the third thing is there's some great resources there to help you. There's some masterclasses you can watch, in particular around the Sales Machine, which is a community we run for people wanting to get leads on LinkedIn. And that's a great way you can find me, paulhigginsmentoring.com.
Fantastic. Well, look, Paul, thanks so much for coming on the show. I know that I started the show with a quote that you mentioned, and that was, you wish that someone had have tapped you on the shoulder and told you, do the personal branding first. Is that something, because you just mentioned that reminded me, I wanted to ask you, you mentioned go to my personal brand, my website. Is that because you also see many businesses that we talked about LinkedIn, we've talked about the profile that you're building, but it's also important, isn't it, to build your own personal brand, your own platform that you can call yours, and you beautifully demonstrated just before we finish the show. And I know we've shared so much already, you've shared so much already, and I really appreciate personal branding. Website, is that still something that you're seeing that businesses are not doing? They're putting too much emphasis on the social media platforms?
Yeah, you don't own the social media platforms. LinkedIn, it's been brilliant, but what I do is make sure that I get people on my list as much as possible, because your list you'll always own. It's the old analogy, don't build your house on someone else's land. And I do think, you know, you'll always be you. So paulhigginsmentoring.com will always be me, but my product page, which is buildlivegive.com. You know, I constantly, whether it's that or I'll do some joint ventures with someone else, maybe, you know, you can always change your company, your trading name, and you can always change your products and services, but you can't change you. So I think there should always be you as an individual and then the company sites. And, you know, whether you're going to sell the business or not, I don't think it really makes a difference, but I do recommend it. And I want to give a quick shout out to Mary Henderson, who helped me come up with my personal brand last year, and the business has just flown since that's occurred.
Fantastic. Good, good. Lovely recommendation and testimonial there. And please go and connect with Paul on LinkedIn and over on his website as well, Paul Higgins Mentoring. Look, thank you once again for coming on the show.
Yeah, and just one more thing. So firstly, Anne-Marie, thanks for having me on. But the second is kidney donation. You briefly spoke about, you know, my best friend 30 plus years gave me a kidney in 2009 and it saved my life. And I just, you know, if you're not on the register, please, it's very easy. Just Google it and, you know, it really does change someone's life. My personal experience, I could not be happier. I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for him. And, if you're not, just please go donate or put yourself down to donate. That'd be brilliant.
Of course, Googling would be, what would they Google then to be able to find that?
Just that is the organization. Organ donation.
organ donation that will take you to that website. And that's also something that I think that organisation are always calling out for more people to consider being on the list there, because you just never know that you could save a life. As you said, your mate did that.
Yeah, it's 160 kidney donations a year, and it's a 6-year waiting list. So, and if you've spent time on dialysis or know anyone that has, it's not much fun. So, yeah, you know, whether it's kidney or any organ, please, it'd be great.
Fantastic. Well, look, thanks, Paul. Lovely way to finish the show. It's been fantastic hanging out with you. Thanks once again for coming on the show.
Thanks, Anne-Marie.
This podcast is brought to you by theinfluencealliance.com. Want to influence real change with your message by becoming known as a trusted authority in your industry while building a sustainable and scalable business you love? Find out how by accessing our free podcast series at www.theinfluencealliance.com/podcast series. That's theinfluencealliance.com/podcast series.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.